Good evening and welcome to Digging Deeper, a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia. And we're so thankful you've taken the time to join us this evening as we continue to seek to be rooted and grounded in Christ by exploring the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And as always, we begin with the Bible, because the Bible is God's inspired word to man. And when it comes to Christianity, everything rises and falls on what we believe about the Bible, the Holy Word of God. And so tonight we're going to come to the third message in this series of messages in our journey of discovering the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And tonight God is going to be speaking to us about the Trinity. And so as you begin, you have a Bible there at home. I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 7. And again, specifically, we're going to be looking tonight at what God's Word teaches about the Trinity. And so, in Genesis chapter 1, we find these words. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? And Father, we just come to you tonight. And Lord, we're just so thankful once again to be on Living Faith Television, gathered together with those of our faithful followers and those who are new joining us tonight. Father, we are thankful that you've again provided this divine appointment for us, that we can come together to gather around the most precious word there is, your own holy word. And Lord, as we look into it tonight, we pray for those who are listening tonight who are lost. We pray that tonight would be the day of their salvation, that they will come to understand with greater clarity their fallen short of your glory. And Lord, that they would remember that Jesus Christ came to take away all of our sin. Father, we pray for the Christian tonight that our understanding of your word and of who you are would deepen. Lord, most of all, we pray for spiritual growth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What just happened? You saw how gravity worked. You didn't see gravity itself, but you saw what gravity does. Can someone explain to me how gravity works? Just because we can't see it or can't explain it, doesn't mean it isn't there, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You see, we know gravity exists because we see proof of it all the time. Now, why am I bringing up gravity tonight? Because the Trinity of God is something like gravity. Augustine said regarding the Trinity, "Try to deny the Trinity, you lose your soul. Try to understand the Trinity, you lose your mind." We can't see the Trinity, and we may not be able to fully explain the Trinity, but we know the Trinity exists because we can see it in the Bible. Now remember, the Bible is where we go to find God's truth, and so we're going to the Bible tonight to try and understand God's Holy Trinity. And to gain an understanding, we need to start by defining the Trinity. There is one God who eternally exists in three distinct persons who are fully and equally God. There is one God. And this one God has always been and always will be. And yet this one God is three persons according to God's holy word. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all equal and yet distinct. And yet these three persons of the Trinity are one God. There is one God and Father. There is one God and Son. And there is one God, the Holy Spirit. One God is a triune God. And so we have the definition of the Trinity. Now let's break this down and see what the Bible says about the Trinity. There is one God. In the Bible, God's Word has this to say. Moses wrote, Deuteronomy 4:35, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. Deuteronomy 32:39, Moses wrote, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, neither is there any that can deliver out of mine hand. The psalmist said, for thou art great and doest wondrous things, thou art God alone. Isaiah prophesied, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. And Paul wrote, now unto the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17. So it's pretty clear, friends, from the Bible authors who were writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that there is only one true God. There is one God, the God of Christianity, and no other. There are other gods, but they are all false gods. There is only one God, the God who reveals himself to mankind in the Bible, God's holy word. That's why no matter what man may claim, all other gods are false gods, and they are false because they are man-made. God instructed the psalmist to write, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Now, family and friends, the truth is irrefutable. There is only one God. And the one true God has revealed himself to mankind through his holy word, the Bible. The Bible is a living word. That's why the writer of Hebrews wrote, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But what about the next part of our definition of the Trinity? There is one God who eternally exists in three distinct persons who are fully and equally God. How can one God be three persons? Because the Bible tells us that's the way it is, and I believe the Bible. What about you? So if there is one God in three persons, let's look at God the Father. If I were to say to you, God the Father is God, would you agree with that statement? The reason we ask you is because you may not know how to answer that. You may be unsure. So let me assure you that Jesus agreed the Father is God. He said, John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The Apostle Paul agreed that God the Father was God, and he wrote to the church at Corinth the following, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things. God the Father is God. The Bible tells us that God the Father is God. Now there's a fourth point we need to make here as we look into this tonight. Family and friends, Jesus Christ the Son is God. Here's where some folks have trouble, but the Bible is clear. John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was with God, and the Word was God who became human. In speaking to the people of his day, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, before I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." You see, Jesus identified himself as God, and it made the people of his day furious. But the Bible says after Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again, the Bible says, "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." Paul wrote in the book of Romans and Titus, "Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." Romans 9:5. But then over in Titus 2:13, he said, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And John, the beloved disciple who reclined upon the breast of Christ at the Last Supper, wrote, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." And so we can say and believe Jesus is God, because, friends, the Bible says Jesus is God. Now, there's a fifth point we want to make tonight, and that is God the Holy Spirit is God. First of all, the Holy Spirit is a He, a person, not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person with the characteristics of a person. The Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force. He's not an it. He is a person. And the Bible instructs us, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption," Ephesians 4:30. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Gravity can't. The Bible says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." The Bible says the Holy Spirit can be resisted. And the Bible goes on to say in Hebrews 10:29, "Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" Well, we find right here in this verse that the Holy Spirit can be insulted. Gravity can't. So understand first, the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17-18, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so the Lord is the Spirit. Peter, in Acts 5:3-4, said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Now I want you to note that Peter equates the Holy Spirit right here as God. We say and we believe the Holy Spirit is God because, friends, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is God. Now there's a sixth point we need to see tonight, and that is all the times in the Bible when we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together. Because there are times when we see all three persons of the Trinity together. For example, we see them together in both Genesis 1, 1 and 2, and John 1, 1 and 2. The Bible says this, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." But again, over in John 1, 1 and 2, we find it again. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." John 1, 1 and 2. The Bible's point is that all three persons were present at creation. In the text we read at the very beginning of tonight's message says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Furthermore, the Bible says, Genesis 3 and 22, "And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." The word "us" means plural. Three persons, not angels. And then we find in Luke's gospel the following. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which had proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" When Jesus spoke, all three persons were present at that time. There's a seventh point that we need to draw to tonight. We need to understand that there have been errors and are still errors made about God simply because of the denial of the Trinity. For example, today in our world, just as in the ancient world, some folks believe in polytheism, which is a great big word that simply means multiple gods. Mormonism teaches that Jesus became God, and therefore we can too. Then some believe in what is called modalism. This is the erroneous belief that God is not three distinct persons, but rather that God plays a role. He is Father in the Old Testament. He plays Jesus in the New Testament. And today God is playing the role of the Holy Spirit. And then there is Arianism, and this is the belief that's taught by the Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe the Trinity is not created equal, and that Jesus is created a little lower than the Father. Foolish beliefs, foolish thought processes that all go against this word. This word is God's word. This word is a living word. We've proved that to you tonight. There's an eighth and final point that we can make tonight. And it comes in the form of a question. Have you ever wondered, why is it important to believe in the Trinity? Why is it important to believe in the Trinity? The answer to the question is simply so we can truly know who God is. If we don't believe in the Trinity, then we can't truly know who God is. The most important thing in all of the world, family and friends, is to know God. And we can't truly know God if we don't believe in His Trinity. But there's another reason why it's important to believe in the Holy Trinity, and that's so we can truly know what love is. People long for love, unity, peace, and community. And I'd wager that's what a whole lot of people listening tonight are longing for. Well, have you ever stopped to consider, where did that longing come from? Well, it comes from being made in the image of God. These cannot be fulfilled without the Trinity. The Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The very nature of God is love. Within the Trinity, there is perfect love, harmony, unity, peace, and community. In the Trinity, there is community, transparency, nothing hidden. There's humility, and there is no jealousy. There is happiness, but it's all joy. No sin, no jealousy, no conflict, no hiding, and no blaming. And the Bible teaches for you and I, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We are to love. And we see true love in the Trinity. You and I, you see, were made to love and to be loved. And the only way we can know what true love is to see the love in the Trinity. We see the greatest example of love in the Bible, in the Trinity. The Bible teaches, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me put that verse to you this way. For God the Father so loved the world that he gave God the Son. But we should know as well that before any man can say he believes in God, God, the Holy Spirit, must convince that man's mind that he is a sinner. And then he must convict that person's heart of his sin. That's why God the Son said in reference to God, the Holy Spirit, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Family and friends, the only way we can know what true love is by understanding the love God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had in providing for us so great a salvation. In Jesus Christ, we find perfect love, perfect harmony, perfect unity, perfect peace. And one day, if you will repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in him, you will find perfect community in a place called heaven. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. if ye believe in me, believe also in God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So there you see, one day we will live in perfect community with him in a place called heaven. Now, friend, listen to me. One day you're going to die. What then? Are you going to trust your way and your beliefs over believing in what God has said in his word to us tonight about his Trinity? Are you going to deny the Trinity when God's word clearly teaches that there is one God in three persons? You'd be a fool if you did. Why would you choose to spend eternity in hell when you can spend eternity in heaven with God forever? As we bring this message to a close, do you understand that because of Jesus' death on the cross, you don't have to go to hell? Tonight, God is offering you a free pardon through repentance and faith. Will you accept it? Picture it this way. The God of creation is reaching down from heaven with his hand to where you are, wanting to lift you up out of the fires of hell. Will you reach out and take his hand? Whoever you are, will you repent and ask Jesus Christ to save you tonight? Now, I'm going to pray here, and if you want to pray to receive God's gift of forgiveness and salvation, you pray along with me tonight as I lead you, sincerely asking God to forgive you of your sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. Father, I repent of my sin and I place my faith and trust in the bloodstained cross of Jesus Christ and in his resurrection life. Be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer tonight, I want you to be assured that you are saved if you prayed that prayer with sincerity. Now, on the screen is a phone number and an address. You call us, do what others have already done. You call us and let us know of your decision so that we can begin to get information and materials into your hands to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. This is a very important thing. You see, you are a new creation, you are a new believer, but you need to have something in your hand that can help you get started right with Christ. And now, as we close this service, may the God of all mercy and grace make his face to shine upon you now and forever. Amen.